And please bow your heads with me in prayer as we pause and as we prepare to reflect upon the words that have been read for us here tonight. Well, Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this time. We thank you for the message of Jesus. We thank you for this time to remember what you did so long ago that we might have the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And we pray now that as we listen to this message once again, as we reflect upon something that perhaps we have heard so many times, that you would use this to implant faith within our hearts and to cause that faith to grow, that we might trust in you and in you alone for that gift of salvation. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to see all of you here this evening. And it's good to celebrate Christmas with all of you. Christmas, as you know, it's all about Jesus. It's about what God has done for us. And for this reason, it's fitting for us to take some time away, perhaps taking it away from our family celebrations and get-togethers, that we might worship him and to praise him for this great blessing that he has provided for us. I don't know about all of you, but some of my most vivid Christmas memories growing up as a child involve worship. The church that I attended as a child, it had a service very much like this one, only several hours later. We would gather for worship at about 11 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve so that our worship finished just after midnight. And it was always a fun time. Some of my favorite memories of those services were singing Silent Night, such as we're going to do later on with the candles, and also just as Jay did for us, the soloist singing O Holy Night, which that remains one of my favorite Christmas hymns. And we'd then go home, and while my sister and I got ready for bed, Mom and Dad would stay up, they would get the turkey ready, they would get everything else ready for the next day. And even though it made for a late night, worship was just a very important part of our Christmas celebration, and it was something that I looked forward to each and every year. Now, as we gather tonight and as we reflect on the blessing of Jesus' birth into the world, we're going to stop and consider the purpose in his coming. And this is a very important thing for us to consider. It's something, after all, that we consider even when it comes to our own lives. Most of us at some point in life, and usually at several points in life, we begin asking the question why we are here, don't we? We begin asking this question often very early in life as we're kind of looking forward, as we're anticipating what might be in store for us down the road. Quite often, people begin asking this in middle age as they experience their midlife crisis. They begin looking back and wondering if everything they have done up to that point is worth anything. They begin asking if their life has any meaning whatsoever. And I guess at that point, most men go out and buy a sports car, right? Yeah, I don't know. And then quite often, people ask this question at the end of their life. And I've seen this so often. Many people, as their strength is leaving them and as they deal with chronic illness, they wonder if they still have a reason to live. They wonder why God has allowed them to remain in this world instead of simply taking them home. So this is a very common question. Now, even those who believe in evolution, even those who believe that, you know, the origin of the universe and the origin of man were nothing more than a great cosmic accident, even they tend to ask this question. And they tend to ask this question for the same reason that you and I do. None of us want to believe that our life is meaningless. None of us want to believe that life is pointless. Most of us, we genuinely believe that we are here for a reason. We believe that there is a purpose for our life, and more than anything, we want to know what that reason is. We want to know our purpose. Now, in our effort to figure this out, we do all sorts of things. Many of us, we seek out our passions. We seek out those things that we enjoy. We seek out our talents and our abilities, and we strive to develop them. We pursue those things that make life seem worth living. We seek out a spouse. We have a family. We try to build into the lives of others. Some of us will abandon all responsibility and run off for a time. in order to find ourselves. We travel, we seek out new experiences, but we do anything and everything we can to find that sense of meaning and purpose. And if we are people of faith, we search the scriptures. We look at the reason given to us in the Bible as to why God created man. And we look at his desires for us and we pray about it. We pray that God will reveal to us why he made us and why he gave us life in the first place. Now, if this is something with which you're struggling, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I don't plan to answer that question tonight. We can do that another time. But like the question of our own purpose, the question of Jesus' purpose is even more important, but it's also equally difficult. The reason for his coming into the world can be very troubling, but for a very different reason. Like the question of our purpose, the question of Jesus' purpose is troubling because Jesus, although he is fully man, he is also God himself. Jesus is the Son of God. And it's also very different because he chose to become man. While you and I, we had no choice in the matter whatsoever, he chose to be born into the world. And we find the reason for his coming in the Christmas story, in a passage that was read for you a short time ago, the one that Brooklyn read for us from Matthew chapter 1, if you want to follow along. But we see in this passage that Mary and Joseph, they were betrothed. However, their engagement was different than our own, because when people were betrothed in biblical times, they couldn't simply break off the relationship if something became displeasing to them. In order to end a relationship such as theirs, you had to seek out a divorce. Even though you were not yet fully married, you still had to get a divorce to end that relationship. Now, while they were betrothed, Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. In other words, this pregnancy was a miracle. It was not the result of Mary and Joseph coming together. This had not yet happened at this point. And when Joseph learned that she was pregnant, we find, he planned to divorce her. After all, the child was not his. He knew that. And he did not yet understand that it was a miracle. But he planned to do this quietly to spare Mary the punishment for adultery. However, as he considered these things, an angel appeared to him in a dream. And he explained to Joseph that he should not fear to take Mary as his wife, because that which was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. In other words, Mary had not been unfaithful to him. The pregnancy had been brought about by God himself. The angel went on to say that when this child was born, Joseph was to give to him the name Jesus. And he was to do so because he would save his people from their sins. Now, according to Scripture, we're all born in sin. None of us were innocent when we were born into this world, as some would have us to believe. We're not good, as most of us like to believe about ourselves. We were born with a natural desire to sin against God. We were born with a natural tendency to rebel against him, and this desire, it plays itself out throughout each and every day of our lives. None of us are innocent before God. Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. It tells us that there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is good and never sins. And it tells us that the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. And even though we see this truth very plainly in Scripture, it should also be very plain to us from life itself. It's plain to us as we compare our lives with Scripture, as we look at God's desire for us, we see that they don't really match the desires that we have for ourselves. As we see how he wants us to live, as we look at his law, it becomes absolutely plain to us that we have fallen short. It's clear to us that we are guilty. When we compare God's word with our lives, we see that we are naturally drawn not to those things that please God, but we are drawn to those things that are sinful in his sight. We see that we naturally rebel against him. None of us have to be taught how to sin, but we do have to be taught how to obey. And no matter how hard we strive to live for the Lord, we fail again and again. And in this way, it's clear that we have broken his commandments. It's clear that we are guilty. And this sin, according to Scripture, it separates us from God. This sin, it makes us deserving of the wrath of God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And what this means is that we have earned death by the sin within us, by the sin that we have committed. It tells us that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Scripture tells us that the fate of the wicked is the lake of fire and sulfur. And this is why you and I and all mankind are in need of salvation. Now this leads us to yet another question. It leads us to ask, well, how did he do this? How did Jesus save us from our sin? How did he provide this salvation? Now the angel, he didn't spell it out to Joseph in the vision, in the dream in which he spoke to him. But this is something that had been foretold in the Old Testament. And we can see it, for example, in Isaiah 63, starting in verse 4. And in that passage, we read, But in that passage, we read, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we have been healed." So it was foretold hundreds of years before Jesus' birth that he would suffer on our behalf. It was foretold that he would pay the punishment of our sin, and Jesus came with this very purpose. Jesus saved us from our sin by giving his life for us upon the cross. And as was read for us in that last scripture that was brought to your attention, it said that he is the propitiation, or that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the world. So by his death, Jesus appeased the justice of God, enabling us to receive forgiveness and enabling us to receive everlasting life. And Jesus, he understood that this was his purpose as well. Several times throughout the Gospels, we see him state that he had to suffer and be killed and rise on the third day. In Mark chapter 10, he explains that he came into the world that he might serve and that he might give his life as a ransom for many. And what we learn from all of this is that Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born into this world that he might give his life upon the cross. He came that in this way he might accomplish our salvation. And no matter how long we've been in the church, no matter how many times we have heard the gospel, most of us, we don't tend to think of this as the reason for Jesus coming. We don't tend to think of this as the purpose for his life. We tend to think that his primary purpose in coming was to reveal God to the world. We tend to think that his primary purpose in coming was to teach God's word to mankind. However, even though Jesus did these things, and even though his teaching and his revelation are certainly a great blessing from which we continue to learn even today, this is not the primary reason that he came. The reason he came was to die. The reason he was born was that he might pay the penalty of our sin. Now, I know it's hard for us to comprehend that anybody's purpose in being born is to die. It's hard for us to come to terms with it because it makes everything seem so pointless. It seems very dehumanizing. It sounds less like the life of a man and more like the life of a cow living on the feedlot, doesn't it? But for Jesus, this was the case. He was born to die, and his life was hardly pointless. His death was not in vain. Jesus came into the world because of our sin. And were it not for Christmas, were it not for Jesus' birth, we would all be lost. If God had not sent his Son, if Jesus had not been born into the world, we would remain in our sin and we would remain under the judgment of God. We would remain in our sin because you and I were in no way deserving of God's blessing. We would remain in our sin because we can in no way earn or become deserving of the forgiveness of God. And we would remain in our sin because no one else could save us. If we were the good people that we believe ourselves to be, if we were without sin, there would have been no reason for Jesus to come at all. If we could somehow earn our salvation, there would have been no purpose in his birth. There would have been no reason for him to come, and more than that, there would have been no reason for him to suffer. If there was another way for us to be saved, there would be no reason for us to be gathering together tonight in order to celebrate his birth. But he came that he might save us from sin and the punishment that we deserve. And this, you see, is what makes Christmas so incredible. Even though we deserve nothing, even though we deserve nothing more than death and hell, God sent his Son into the world, and he did so that we might be saved from our sin. The perfect, the holy, the eternal, the all-powerful, the all-knowing God became man. And he became man that he might give his life for us. He died upon the cross, paying the penalty from our sin. He then rose from the grave, defeating the power of death, giving to each one of us the assurance of everlasting life. A gift that can be received by simply trusting in him. And we read all about this in that well-known passage that you've all heard and perhaps have memorized, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, it was because of his great love for us that God sent Jesus into the world. And it was because of his great love for us that he seeks our salvation. And so as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate the one who was born into the world, let us remember and celebrate the one who was born to die. Let us celebrate the one who came to earth for no other purpose than giving his life in our place. And let us celebrate the one who was born that in this way he might save us from our sins. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you and praise you for this tremendous blessing. And for many of us, Lord, this is a message we have heard so many times, it's almost as if it falls upon deaf ears. But we pray that it would not be so with us this Christmas. We pray that this message of Jesus coming would strike us, that it would strike us anew, that you would help us to truly grasp the significance of this event. And we pray that you would continually turn us to you, enabling us to trust in you and enabling us to receive the forgiveness that's been provided for us. So thank you again, Lord, for Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.